Everyone, welcome to a special Your Amigos podcast. Tom and I are here at the APCCC meeting, which is in Lugano, Switzerland. We are live on site. Everybody keeps asking us what we're doing at a prostate meeting. We are here with Jason Estafiou and Pete Ost, and we're going to have a little debate. We're going to talk about adjuvant radiotherapy and prostate cancer. This is an amazing meeting, by the way. Silky and team have done a great job of putting it together, and we thought we'd sort of just highlight some of the main features. So Jason, I'm going to turn it over to you. When each of you start, just introduce yourself briefly, whatever titles you want to use. And then why don't you give us 3 minutes or so on why you would be for adjuvant radiation, and then Pete will let you sort of give the counter argument.
Okay, great. So Jason Estafiou from Mass General Hospital in Boston. A fantastic meeting, and we had a session on adjuvant radiation. So what is that? Well, we know that there's an increase in prostatectomy and high-risk disease, and that means there's more indications for using radiation after surgery. So what's adjuvant radiation? Adjuvant means there's no disease after surgery. Basically, a PSA is undetectable, and you're using radiation to, because of a significant risk of a future recurrence, and you're trying to improve local control and avoid dissemination of disease. In general, what is an undetectable PSA? Most studies would define that as a PSA less than 0.1, though I think there's a debate in the ultra-sensitive range. Why use adjuvant radiation? We have the RADICALS trial, the RADICALS RT trial, and that really set the stage. The conclusion of that was early salvage radiation should be standard of care. However, have you seen the update of that trial just coming out in proof form in Annals of Oncology that actually shows the following, really important.
Great journal, by the way.
Great journal. What does that update show? Well, you got to remember, the authors changed their primary endpoint from prostate cancer-specific mortality or disease-specific survival to freedom from distant metastases. In the update, freedom from distant metastases is trending towards significance, hazard ratio 0.68, p-value 0.09. But if you go to the disease-specific survival, it's significant. Hazard ratio of 0.33 and a p-value of 0.04. And we need to remember, this was a favorable group of patients. If you had Gleason 7 disease or a PSA of 10.1, you were eligible, okay? And there was still that benefit in their original endpoint.
Jason, just give us a quick run view of the RADICALS trial. What was the design?
So the design was your post-op PSA had to be less than or equal to 0.2, and you had to have one risk factor, just one. T3, T4 disease, Gleason 7 to 10, could just be 7, positive margins, and a pre-op PSA greater than 10. So you could have just had a pre-op PSA of 10.1 and be eligible for this trial, randomized between adjuvant radiation and early salvage radiation, okay? And it is a favorable cohort based on the eligibility that I just described to you, and it was still trending at 7.8 years of follow-up, okay, which is early for this kind of population. Salvage trials, which are downstream, you know, they're showing survival benefits when they have 13 years of follow-up. So we actually need more follow-up from that RADICALS RT trial. But what I just want to argue here, and I'm really excited to hear what Pete's going to say.
I'm excited too.
is the following. If there's going to be a benefit to adjuvant radiation, it's most likely going to be in a subset of high-risk patients, okay? And they weren't represented in RADICALS. RADICALS had less than 20% were Gleason 8 to 10. Only 5% were node positive. 4% had two risk factors like T3B and Gleason 8 to 10. They were way underrepresented. And that's where we see the benefit to adjuvant radiation in that higher risk group.
And what was the risk in the higher risk group in the RADICALS trial? What was the hazard ratio in that subgroup?
I'm not aware. I don't think that they did those sort of subset analyses.
So when you say you think that's the case, you don't know.
Well, here, I'm going to tell you this, right?
Yeah, you tell
their
me, you
difference
tell me.
At 7.8 years was 10% distant met rate, okay? And like I think a 3% disease-specific mortality rate, all right? Disease-specific mortality rate. So if you apply the hazard ratio of their changed primary endpoint of 0.68, and you took a higher risk subgroup that had a distant met rate at 10 years of 40%, right, like the CalGB study or some other studies like that, that's going to lead to a 13% absolute difference, right? So the absolute difference was in the 2 to 3% range in radicals RT favoring adjuvant. But if you took a higher risk subgroup, that absolute difference is going to be like, much higher. So if we got to think about adjuvant radiation in a higher risk subgroup. And I'm going to say, so what is a higher risk subgroup? The higher risk subgroup are those that have, let's say, a couple of risk factors, T3BT4, Gleason 8 to 10, node positivity, and let's bring in some genomic classifiers, some biomarkers, right? What if the Decipher score is 0.6 or higher, right? Take a couple of those risk factors, they should be getting adjuvant radiation, right? There's a trend in radicals and actually a statistically significant benefit in disease-specific survival in a much more favorable cohort. So not
Jason, you go. I was going to say one question and then let's turn it over to Pete. So would you advocate for adjuvant RT in everybody eligible for radicals and worse, or just in that higher risk subset, however defined?
So I'm going to, what do I do? I mean, I actually favor early salvage for most patients.
Wait,
okay.
What?
And certainly, no. But when I say most patients, I'm talking about the favorable, right? T3A and a positive margin. I actually favor early salvage, but what do I mean by early salvage? I mean early.
Okay.
I mean PSAs, if it's 0.1 or higher, trigger early salvage. And in the higher risk subgroups, use ultra-sensitive PSAs and consider a PSA of 0.05 for that trigger. However, I think in patients that are fit, motivated, very high risk, two or more of the features that I was describing, and way underrepresented in radicals, I'm going to recommend adjuvant radiation to that group. Because ultimately, yes, we should all try and avoid or delay radiation and its potential toxicity in those who we can, right? We all believe that. There was a little more toxicity to adjuvant over early salvage in radicals, but it was mostly grade 1, grade 2. The differences in grade 3 were 1 or less percent difference between those arms. But okay, let's argue we want to avoid that if we can, but we certainly don't want to miss a window of opportunity to cure patients who are guaranteed to recur.
Jason, that was fabulous. Pete, I can see you folding your arms. I can see there's a degree of skepticism in what's been said. And what's your take on this?
Well, actually, I do think that, and that was that one sentence, that you mostly do early salvage. So I think we actually agree. And Radicals was a very, very good trial that actually does show that salvage probably is the good option for the majority of patients with a single high-risk factor. Mm-hmm. However, and that's what we see in the primary disease as well, once you start combining factors, and that's an analysis we haven't seen yet, then probably there is a benefit of going in earlier, maybe with adjuvant, but with any treatment, whether it's systemic, it's local. The adjuvant question is always, are we over-treating, yes or no? What is the number to treat? What is the number to... And that is something which is, at this point, in the radical trial, still a bit favoring the early salvage ones. So we are probably still over-treating if we would, as you mentioned, apply adjuvant radiotherapy to all patients that were eligible within radicals, then we are over-treating. What I hope is that they tease out which patients, one, benefit from early adjuvant and which ones benefit from a longer duration of systemic therapy. Because that was also a question within radicals, short duration, no long duration of ADT. And with any disease, there is indeed that window of opportunity, but there is also the more risk factors you combine, the higher the likelihood of developing distant metastasis. And the question is in these patients, is that local control still that important? Maybe it's the distant mets that start driving the disease. So it will be a combination in patients, where is that window of cure? Where does that window of cure actually no longer apply? And this is where the novel tools, maybe Decipher, maybe Artera, might come into place and looking into which patients will develop mets anyway and where the local therapy might not be that important. I think that is hopefully where the future will go to. So practically speaking, who do you give salvage, who do you give adjuvant, that is still open to debate. But what we know from the larger cohort studies and the retrospective analysis, unfortunately, patients with positive nodes, those are the ones where most often adjuvant radiotherapy is still applied. There are some subgroup analysis being done, one node positive, two, four, and so forth, and most of them derive a benefit from the adjuvant.
And what is benefit?
Well, they actually have time to distant mets that is different. They see some OS in some of the cohorts, but these are all retrospective ones.
Mm-hmm. And they're none of them are statistically significant. They're all kind of no alpha allocation. It's subset analysis.
Well, yeah, these cohorts were specifically designed for to answer the question, the PN plus, but it's a retrospective cohort. So that means that it was left to the decision of the physician. Are you going to do salvage? Are you going to not do radiotherapy? Yeah. Are you going to do adjuvant? So that's no proof.
Let's say if it was a drug, a new drug on the market with toxicity, grade 1 and 2 toxicity, and it launches and you have the radicals trials come out. It doesn't hit a lot of endpoints. There's some subset analysis that look promising. Does the drug get approved or do people say not enough yet? If it was a drug, not radiotherapy, we've all got radiotherapy machines, so we can do it. But if it was a new drug we had to use, would it get used? Or would people say, you know what, just not enough data yet?
I think that most people will argue there's not enough data. And that's what we discuss in adjuvant bladder, adjuvant kidney. Oh, there is PFS but no OS benefit. We're not going to do it. Of course, there the toxicity is different. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about different scale of toxicity. Here, toxicity is lower, but there is toxicity. So for me, based on the radicals and those patients that were eligible there, I would say favor early salvage under the prerequisite that you monitor your patient very good. And that is comes back to a very interesting remark Vedang Murthy made once. He said, I see a lot of patients that have one opportunity to go for cure because they won't be monitored at home with their PSA levels. So I rather give them immediate adjuvant radiotherapy because I will never see them again unless they become metastatic, and then it's way too late to cure. And so if you're in a healthcare system where good follow-up, you have a patient that you know this patient will faithfully come to his appointments, have the PSA checks, that the physician knows one how to react to which PSA levels, I think then you're very safe with doing salvage radiotherapy.
So we agree early salvage is important. You both agree with that. Is that something that's not as well done outside of an academic center, maybe not ultra-sensitive PSA or patients aren't followed as much? I don't have a sense for that.
No, Pete's a really smart guy. So I agree with a lot of what he said, but I think to answer your question directly, there's been a concerning trend to wait and watch the PSA rise in the salvage until a PSMA PET shows something. Right. Well, that's really bad.
We agree.
That is very, very risky, but it's growing in practice. Really? Okay, so I think we got to really educate what is early salvage. And early salvage might not be 0.3 or, for some patient, it might be 0.1. It might be even using monitoring with ultra-sensitive PSAs. And there are some nice studies showing that for high-risk patients, a PSA of 0.05 can lead to better.
So there's no role for imaging or biopsy. It's entirely based on PSA.
Biopsy for sure, there is no role.
Yep.
Imaging, that's still up for debate.
Okay.
The thing is, what is very interesting is, if the PSMA PET, let's say you want to do it, you're a fan of it, you do it, and it's negative, that doesn't mean that there's no benefit from a local therapy, because the sensitivity of the PSMA PET to detect a very small local recurrence at these PSA levels of 0.1, 0.2 is almost non-existing. Yeah. It's not sensitive enough. Yeah. So if you do a PET and it's negative and you say, okay, it's negative, so I go for the salvage radiation, that's perfect. Then that's fine. The other way around, if you say, oh, now it's negative, so that means there is no local recurrence, so I'll wait, that's bad. There's none of the data showing that that's a good idea. But people interpret it or overinterpret the sensitivity, and that's a problem, or potentially dangerous.
And there's data showing twofold reduction in distant mets when you use a trigger for early salvage of less than 0.2 compared to PSA 0.2 to 0.5, right? So we have this data. When using early salvage, the lower the PSA, the better. There's no doubt about that. But coming back to the radicals RT trial,
Just before you come there. So there are inevitably groups of prostate cancer patients where the disease is systemic, the biology is unattractive, we may not know exactly who they are yet, but local therapy is never going to control those patients. So the highest risk group, and it may not be clinical factors, it may be biological factors, all of these local treatments are probably not benefiting them. Prostatectomy, radiotherapy, not helping these patients at all. Which are those patients, and are these patients being caught up in this tide that you're talking about, and therefore is there a subgroup that we're over-treating and potentially pointing in the wrong direction with local therapy when we should be intervening earlier with systemic therapy?
I think the answer to that is yes, and we need to define that group, right? We don't know that group yet. We do know that if you have multiple risk factors.
But we know they exist. We know they exist.
But exactly who are they? We also know that those are the ones that are, you know, if there is still some risk of local pelvic disease, they're most likely to disseminate and metastasize. And perhaps intervening earlier with local treatment, whether it be adjuvant or salvage, can still be beneficial. I 100% think we need biomarker studies, you know, genomic classifiers, AI, digital histopathology type multimodal tools. We need these to further guide post-prostatectomy radiation, yes or no, right? Absolutely.
And what's the state of the biologic tools now, Decipher and otherwise? One of you alluded to that. Is it being used? Should it be used in clinical practice?
I think Decipher, so a genomic classifier, per NCCN, is being used in the post-prostatectomy setting. And most of it informs the use of ADT with salvage radiation, okay? And it doesn't really inform the duration of ADT. And the recommendation is to use these types of things if it might change your management, but don't use these things reflexively in all patients. There will be interesting data to be presented at AUA using a multimodal AI tool looking at that exact question. So certainly tune in to the AUA in 1 week where you're gonna see data on that front. So most of it has been looking at adding ADT to salvage radiation. Decipher has studies that have looked at using it for adjuvant versus salvage radiation. There was one nice study in JCO that said Decipher score of greater than 0.4, there was a benefit to adjuvant radiation. There's a risk stratification models that you know, you need two or more risk factors, and those risk factors again, T3B, T4, Gleason 8 to 10 node positivity, or Decipher score greater than 0.6. Two of those benefit to adjuvant over salvage. So I think when you know, you're doing informed decision making with a patient, these tools can be useful if it's going to change your management.
Pete, you took a short intake of breath, and then Brian interrupted you. He does that quite a lot in these podcasts. It can get really annoying. What were you going to say?
That's, of course, when there's no images and video. Otherwise, everybody would have noticed. But I was thinking about there's also another level to your question, is asking which patients won't benefit from a local therapy because they will become metastatic. However, there is probably also a proportion of patients that will die of other causes and where the local treatment will not provide an overall survival benefit, even though you might cure them. Mm-hmm. But not curing them also might be fine. It's like a low-risk patient. And EAU has low-risk criteria, high-risk criteria. But that's also still an open question. So there's a Dutch group, and Roderick van den Berg, one of the urologists, discussed that option. Why won't we do a trial that compares pure observation versus the early salvage? And I think that would still be a very interesting idea, because some of these patients will die of other causes. Mm-hmm. As you see, a lot of the events in the radicals are not happening within the first 5 years. Some of them, or most of them, will happen probably after 10 years. Mm-hmm. But if we think we are seeing a 75-year-old in our clinic with a PSA of 0.1, that patient probably is not going to die from their cancer. So do we need to jump in with any radiation or any systemic therapy? What's wrong with observing them? And those data comes from the very old papers in the 90s of Friedland, Pound, where we know that PSA doubling time is relevant, the Gleason score is relevant, the T stage is relevant. And there's a proportion of patients where probably observing them will be as good as intervening early.
So Jason, let me put that to you. So it's a bell-shaped curve. There's some patients where it's probably too late and we're not going to be able to help too much. It's going to be advanced disease. But there's also this second group, even within the radical trial, who were included in the study, but probably their risk is relatively low, their life expectancy may be relatively short, and actually they're not benefiting either.
I think you're right. And I think, you know, what radicals is teaching us is that There is a less than 5% absolute difference in distant mets and death due to prostate cancer in that study. And do you view that as clinically significant for the patient in front of you who is of intermediate risk? Because that's what that was the inclusion. What is intermediate risk? T3A positive margin, right? Is that benefit enough to trigger treatment such as adjuvant radiation? And for the patient that Pete just described, right? Elderly, lots of comorbidities, that potential benefit may never apply, right? And so you gotta look at the person in front of you. And it may be very reasonable to kind of follow that patient, avoid further toxicity from adjuvant radiation, and maybe trigger salvage therapy if things declare themselves, and accept, you know, that they're, you know, you're avoiding that treatment, you're avoiding that toxicity, and you're maybe giving up some small chance of kind of inferior intermediate kind of outcome benefit, right? But on the other, I just want to go back to this. There are those high-risk patients not well represented in radicals, where they are at massive risk of you know, 40% by 10 years distant metastases rate.
But you don't know radiotherapy is going to help those. You haven't got a randomized trial. That might happen anyway. Radiotherapy will or will not help with those patients.
Therefore, we would need that observational arm.
Yeah. We need that trial. So
that would be beautiful, yeah. But
yes,
it will be difficult because which... First, there's a physician bias.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Physicians not doing anything, try to find them. Very difficult. It's what if you want to do any trial with no treatment whatsoever, with a treatment which is available everywhere. For a drug, it's easy. But for a radiotherapy trial, it's very difficult because everybody can do radiotherapy. So I get a referral for a patient for salvage. The patient knows they're going to get salvage. And I say, I've got a trial where I'm not going to do anything and just watch you. That's a very difficult sell indeed. But I do agree, we need to do that trial. I think we owe it to the patients. And it may be bad for our profession, but that's more from a financial perspective. But I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care.
And you got to remember, there might not be a randomized trial, but there's plenty of studies out there, retrospective and others, that have shown benefit to adjuvant adding radiation, right, to node-positive patients. There's studies that show the more nodes, the better. Right?
But not randomized trials with a survival benefit.
Correct.
So, let's be
right. So it's not randomized.
Because we've got lots of trials.
It's not randomized. I'm just saying there is a plethora of data.
I can show you trials showing nephrectomy is helpful in metastatic disease, but we did the randomized trial and it didn't turn out that way.
I hear you. Yeah. And we need the randomized trial. But in terms of informing practice today, there is certainly data to help. Try and help guide us.
Fabulous.
But to your point of bringing in debulking nephrectomy, right? This
is a home game for us.
Yeah, let's turn it to even that randomized trial, there's still debate, and we still all agree that patient selection is everything, and that's what we were just talking about.
Mm-hmm. Patient selection would you like to wrap this up?
Clinical features based on genomic classifiers, based on considering what are they going to die from, right? It's a phrase that I use a lot in tumor board, right? Because they have a low volume kidney cancer. Is this patient really going to die from this? Are there 4 centimeter renal mass? Let's just watch him, right? And so we have those conversations in tumor boards, but not so much when we're designing trials, right? I agree. It's much more difficult. Fascinating discussion.
Jason, Pete, anything to say the last second, or should we call it? We're going to call it.
I think we all agree.
We all agree.
Thanks, gentlemen. Thank you. It was great.
That's really good.
Thank you.
It was brilliant. Jason's really nice. It was brilliant.
Good.
I learned a lot.
Thank you.
Of course. That was a lot of fun. Well, with everybody. That's it.